This is the State of Things broadcasting from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Anita Rao, in for Frank Stachow. A hairdresser, a preacher, and a wrestler stand in a line of pilgrims from every nook and cranny of North Carolina. They're waiting in the Memphis sun to seek the counsel and blessings of their patron saint, Elvis. While gathered at the gates of Graceland, the pilgrims swap stories, some poignant, some silly, and all of these tales are told in Going to Graceland. It's a collection of short stories by North Carolina author Ruth Moose. This is her fifth collection of short stories, but she's also made a name for herself as a poet and novelist who has a distinctly Southern touch. Ruth Moose is back with us in the studio today. Welcome back to The State of Things.
Thank you.
So last time we had you on here, you were discussing your series of mystery novels. Why did you make the switch back to a collection of short stories?
Because I'm basically a short story writer. Everything about me is a short story writer or a poet. And a novel is just hard work. Short stories are pleasure.
So you've said in the past that putting together a collection of short stories is actually a real pain in the neck for you. Why is that? And then how did this one come together?
Short stories, you know, if you have a theme, if you have a setting, if you have some unifying force or connection, but I just write a story. And I've compared my short story writing to my grandmother making quilts. You know, you've got pieces and then you fit them together. And it's hard to get a collection of short stories published because people don't really read short stories and they don't buy books of short stories. In fact, I was thinking the other day, you know, a book of short stories is really the perfect beach read, but nobody says that.
You can read a story, take a dip in the water, read another story. It's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, but people don't think about that. They think, got to buy a novel, sit down, you know, in the lounge chair beside the pool. But that's not, you know, a short story collection is perfect.
So this collection of short stories is a series of character portraits of people, and you tied them all together as people who were waiting in line at Graceland. How did that idea come to you?
Well, I always loved the Canterbury Tales. And always wanted to write a prologue. This is what I did. I made all these people, these sort of ordinary people that most literature ignores. There's not a lot of literature on people of middle or lower class or blue collar. And so I made them all pilgrims, and then I got to write, and I thought, where would a pilgrim in 2019 go? And I decided they'd go to Graceland. So I got to write a prologue and an epilogue.
Read us some from the prologue now and set up the premise of this collection for us, if you would.
Okay. I'd love to.
Wonderful.
This collection was actually put together about 16, 17 years ago. It just takes long to get somebody interested in a short story collection. And St. Andrew's Press, who published my first short story collection. So I guess I've come full circle. Okay. In August, in the South, when day here boils over into night and there's a hard ring around the moon, those who believe go seeking salvation. They're tired of waiting for the rapture. If the rapture is not going to come to them, they will pick up their lives where they are, pack a lunch, and go to it. They pack brown grocery bags full of nabs, cans of Spam, Vienna sausages, pork and beans. They take along very carefully, packed in its own Tupperware keeper, Aunt Ophelia's caramel pound cake with inches thick burnt sugar icing. They pack ham biscuits and fried chicken and deviled eggs that smell to high heaven. Last, they put in a watermelon big as a half bushel bucket. They throw in a change of underwear and head toward the rapturous. They go to Graceland. They go to ask the blessings of their Lord and Savior, Elvis the King.
That was Ruth Moose reading from her collection of short stories, Going to Graceland. She'll be reading at Flyleaf Books in Chapel Hill tomorrow at 3 p.m. So you mentioned before that you love writing portraits of Southerners who you don't think get a lot of attention in other short stories and novels. There are so many nuggets, even in that short section, that are so distinctly Southern. Talk about your dedication to these particular Southern characters and where that comes from.
Well, you know, there's been such attention given to this book called Hillbilly Elegy, which I read, and I didn't identify with any of those people. So my stories, I think, are kind of a backlash to Hillbilly Elegy. These are people who go about their lives raising families, working at jobs 25, 30 years, neighborhoods, just real people.
Do you write the South as you saw it growing up or in the way that it is now? Because it is changing. Demographically, it's really changing. How do you think about it?
I think I probably write it as I knew it growing up. I just did, as an exercise, a drawing of the street where I lived growing up, a neighborhood, small towns. I'm amazed at people who don't know small towns and neighborhoods and that kind of thing. And so this closeness, this caring for each other,
the intimacy of those relationships and connections, which you really see throughout this book, so many characters who are kind of connected in these really intimate ways. And it makes me think about your husband, who you dedicate this book to, and the experience that he had as a young kid working at his father's gas station, and he would see these characters from the neighborhood come in and out, and they seem to really inspire his work. How is your husband present in this book?
Well, he did the book design before he died, and that was 16 years ago. And so I love being able to use his book design.
With the two of you both being artists and both being observers of the world around you, did that come into your relationship in any particular way?
Probably. Most of these stories, when I look back at them, I was working for a newspaper. I worked for the Charlotte News, and I had three deadlines a week, which scares me now. But so I had to turn in three columns or features a week. And this really tells you my age, but they were written on a Smith Corona portable typewriter. And I actually wore the keys off that typewriter.
Wow.
But a lot of time, you know, I learned that everybody has a story. And so some of these stories came from some of the people I interviewed. Not directly. I didn't take the real person, but I took the idea, like the lady wrestler who was so funny. She was the great Moolah. And so I did a newspaper feature on her. And then maybe years later, I thought of this character and was able to put the character in a story. And that was fun. But how many people write a story about a school secretary or a retired shoe salesman or just people? You know, this was Chekhov, the Russian writer. And he was the great humanist.
So you mentioned that you were a newspaper writer, and in many ways, that influences how you approach short stories. You really pack a lot in to the very first paragraph or the first few paragraphs. Can you talk about that stylistic technique and how you want readers to approach your short stories?
Right. A lot of people have a frustration with a short story because they'll read a short story and they'll say, but I don't know what happened. So I suggest they go back and read the first paragraph. The novelist has a whole chapter, the first chapter, to get a reader. The short story writer has the first paragraph. So a short story, a good ideal short story, should be round and also should be able to be read many times. And any time, after you read it several times, you still get something out of it you didn't see before. Because a short story writer, every word in a short story has its purpose for being there.
I want you to do another reading for us. And this is from, there's three related short stories that are all looking at the same situation through different lenses. And it has to do with a hair burglar, which people may not know exactly what that is. So you might have to explain that as you set up the reading for us.
Okay. This was originally published in the Carolina Quarterly, and it came from a newspaper clipping because I collect just little odd human interest stories that are in newspapers. I love newspapers. And so this, I think the title was something about the hair burglar. And I had this clipping on my desk for ages, and I couldn't figure out what I was going to write about it because I didn't want to stay in the viewpoint of the hair burglar. I mean, this is kind of weird. And so one day I decided to break the story into three parts. The first part would be the woman who had her hair stolen. And the second part was his mother defending him because he was always such a good boy. And the third part was the hair burglar himself. So it's very tiny parts.
And so you're going to read from us from the section of the hair burglar himself.
Okay. This is what he says. I can't tell you how this kicks up my life. The thrill of the find. Some of them are so ordinary in every other way. Then planning out the way I'll do it. At times it seems every fiber in my body gears up. I tingle so I can hardly sleep. I feel electric and glowing all over, like a light bulb. I wonder everybody can't see it. See me radiating in excitement as I get things more and more into place and practice. I practice several times in the weeks before I do it. I practice getting into the house, whether it's by a clumsy lock or a door or a window that's not quite shut or one that stays open. You'd be surprised at the people who have to sleep with a window open, even in the coldest weather. All it takes for me is a crack, just enough to get my fingers under, ease the glass up, then slide myself in. I work out every day, so I say slim as a snake and agile. I oil my way in, and once in, I can move quieter than air. I practice that at home using taping equipment that will pick up anything, even breath.
That was Ruth Moose reading from her new collection of short stories, Going to Graceland. She'll be reading at Flyleaf Books in Chapel Hill tomorrow at 3 p.m. So I love these three stories of the hair burglar. And what it made me think about is that for me, a short story, and especially the way that you write them, you intrigue me in such a way that I'm almost kind of set off on my own thought experiment, my own creative journey, versus a novel where I keep reading because I want to know how the author ends the story. Is there something about this kind of what you want to inspire in a reader that draws you to short stories?
Well, the whole thing is to keep a reader reading and for somebody to say, I couldn't put that down. Or the minute they finish it, they go back and read it again. And so, but, you know, when I was teaching, I taught at UNC for 15 years, and one of the assignments I gave my students was to find a tiny item in a newspaper. It could be a classified ad. It could be anything. And write a story about it. Because I said, you've already got the who, what, when, where. You don't have the why. As a writer, you've got to figure out, make up why this happened.
And you are so inspired by the everyday. You have what you call a collection of mulch that you keep on your desk, and you did bring your book of mulch and, oh my goodness, and a stack of mulch all here in the studio. And you were sharing some of it with me earlier. You just keep names of people that are quirky, odd sentences that you find. Can you give us a quick sampling of some of this mulch that you have here?
Okay, this is from a pink notebook, and it's a small notebook, and it's loose leaf, so I can add to it. And I started this early in my writing career, and for one thing, I have a collection of names, and this is, I have an index. I'm not an organized person, but I did try. So I have an index, and this is under N. And so it's, I think the names of places too are interesting, like apple tree quilts or craft shop, Rock of Ages monuments, the Way Mike feed store, the Rust and Dust antiques. Isn't that great? I mean, there's just so much color in the language, in every day. If you just look around and you start reading signs, you read the newspaper and you find odd names. So I have pages and pages of names.
Well, it takes a careful observer and a curious observer to see something like this and not gloss over it. And I'm wondering, how did you develop that skill? Was that inherent, or was it something that you had to work toward?
Well, the writer is the trained observer. And this is the thing I always told my students, you know, teach yourself to really observe. And then, you know, make notes. Other writer friends will tell me, oh, I'd love to rustle through your mulch pile on your desk, because you just pick up something and there's an idea for a story. So anyway, it's writing is all around you. You really have to just be aware.
So this book, going back to it, it's about these people who are on a pilgrimage to a specific place for a purpose. Is there anywhere for you in your life, a space that has served the same kind of function? I know you and your family used to go to Norman Rockwell's hometown on your own kind of yearly pilgrimage. Where do you want to take a pilgrimage? Is there a place like that for you?
The part of the pilgrimage with my husband was to Stockbridge, Massachusetts. And like yearly, we had to do that and go to the Norman Rockwell Museum. And my sons, when they were growing up, they called it Normal Rockwell. But part of the thing was we always swung by Amherst so I could have my own pilgrimage to Emily Dickinson's house, because I'm just a really confirmed Emily Dickinson fan.
What's next for Ruth Moose?
Oh, I'm working to put together a collection of poems, and it's going to be called Amaryllis, because one time I was interviewed and somebody said, what are you working on now? And very quickly I thought, oh, a collection of poems called Amaryllis. So now I've got to do it.
The idea came before the process, and it works out.
It's really hard to put together a collection of short stories, and it's hard to put together a collection of poems unless you write with a theme. One of my books is called The Librarian, and it's been the most successful poetry collection. I wrote 55 poems in the viewpoint of a librarian, and so I had this many poems to begin with, and then I had a lot of grief poems that I wrote after my husband died, so there was the book.
Well, I really admire your ability to see the beauty in the everyday, and we will share some photos of Ruth Moose's mulch pile on our social media so you can see and maybe be inspired to create your own short story. Ruth Moose is the author of Going to Graceland. This is her fifth collection of short stories. Thank you so much for joining us.
Wonderful. Loved it.
She will be reading from her new collection at Flyleaf Books in Chapel Hill tomorrow at 3 p.m. You can find the details at our website, stateofthings.org. Just ahead, Kaique Bidal. He's a Brazilian musician finding his groove in North Carolina. He explores the musical landscape of the African diaspora in his hometown of Salvador and here in Durham. I'm Anita Rao. Please stay with us.